smile, though your heart is aching. Smile even though it's breaking. When there are clouds in the sky, you'll get by if you smile through your fear and sorrow. Smile and maybe tomorrow you'll see the sun come shining through for you. Light up your face with gladness. Hide every trace of sadness. Although a tear may be ever so near, that's the time you must keep on trying. Smile, what's the use of crying? You'll find that life is still worthwhile if you just smile.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Grief Chat with our friend Mitch Carmody. He is here today to chat about many things, but one of them that I know that you always like to talk about is signs, and I'm excited to hear what that means, because in the grief world, aren't we always looking for signs, Mitch?
I think when we're grieving? I think in general.
Oh, in general, right.
People are trying to make a decision. You're looking for a sign. You're wishing on a falling star. You're throwing a coin in a well. I mean, our whole life, we always like to believe in magic and believe in miracles. But we also have to pursue them. You have to be here now. You have to be in the moment and to recognize what maybe is around us always, but we've got to take off our glasses a little bit and our spiritual glasses and look and see what's around and listen with our heart and listen with our eyes. And many things will maybe become obvious, because it's been 31 years since, you know, Kelly has died, and, you know, the early times, you know, we were asking for signs all the time, and I talked to people early in grief, and they're asking for signs all the time, and they don't get them, and they get frustrated, and every day in the early days is like a whole day without a sign. It just adds to the grief. How come no one's communicating? And every day is a tick of the metronome. It's time is so slow, and then years later on the road, you know, you start reintegrating into life a little bit, and you don't really ask for the signs as much, and maybe you've gotten some, but it's the spontaneous ones that happen when it's on their time, because it's mostly on their time. You know, we don't know what goes on the other side, but it seems to be on their time when we need it most, and not to push the issue. I want it right now. I mean, it doesn't hurt to ask and have intentions that I want to, but it's mostly being aware, because I've noticed that progression through my life. And then now with what I talk about in my grieving process is the proactive grieving. And my granddaughter's grown up with that. And so she's on the lookout all the time.
So proactive grieving is where you keep the person alive.
Keep them
alive. You talk about them in the present sense.
Right. Their physical body is gone.
But they're still here.
Okay. And that's as simple as you can make it. That you can still dialogue with them. You can still talk to them, write to them, give them presents, only give them to someone else. I mean, you can actively participate like they are still part of your life. And that brings your life back in a huge, huge way.
I bet it does. You know what, Mitch? We're going to actually go to the phones and we're going to say hello to Barb. How are you today?
Oh, hello, Barbara Hopkinson. I recognize that voice anywhere. Yeah, we're talking about signs today, and I know you've had a bunch of signs. Have you had some recently?
Little things, you know, recently, like a feeling or a smell, a familiar smell, or just now, it's funny, I was just making myself some breakfast, and I cracked open an egg, and it came out, and it was a double yolk, and it was in the shape of a heart. So little things like that. But my favorite one, and I've got a couple of, if you want to hear one or two of my favorite ones.
Oh, please.
Yeah, so one of them, I was actually working with a friend who's a musician, and I actually saw her channel a song from my son, and she hadn't met him. But fast forward a little later, I was living in a different place. I rented my house for the summer, and I was going to a different place. And before I unpacked, I took a walk, and I got a text from her. She's not a medium, but she just had this capability. And she found out when she did that channeling that she could actually get messages from my son. And so she said, she texted me and says, Brent says, be careful going up your front steps, Mom. She had never been to this house. And I said, okay. I was already kind of used to getting messages from her, from him through her. And so I got back to the house, and the entire length of the wooden step was cracked. And I had just moved in, so I hadn't noticed it. If I had put my weight on the outside edge of that step, I would have fallen. I would have gotten hurt, probably.
Wow.
So she had never been there. So she had no idea, but she just sent me this message and said, my son told me to be careful when I going up my, you know, going back to the house. And so that was pretty interesting. And
wow.
Then there was one other one that's a favorite of mine, that I was with my second husband. I was in Orlando in downtown Disney. We were going to see Cirque du Soleil, but we went across the street to the House of Blues to get an early dinner first. And so we're sitting at the booth, and the waiter comes over, takes our order. I'm not paying a lot of attention, and they had inverted cone, like burnished copper cone lamps that were hanging from the ceiling, and the inside was just, it looked like crayon scribbled on a light background. It was just, you know, just decorative. Well, I looked up, and I see my son's name in the scribble, Brent, as clear as day. And I'm like, okay, am I seeing things, Jim? Can you see that? He said, yeah, I see it. I said, am I seeing things, or is that there? And I took the picture of it. Now I'm thinking, okay, maybe it's just random names, right? So I know enough to be skeptical about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm up. Now I'm up looking inside the lamp. There's no other name. Now I'm going all over the restaurant looking inside of all of the lamps on the ceiling. There are no other names. I couldn't find a name anywhere except for the Brent on my table, which is my 21-year-old son who passed.
Wow.
So those are a couple of things.
That's amazing. Was that on any significant day or anything or time or anything else?
No, it was just...
Just when you needed it.
Just a blessing. Just a blessing, you know.
I guess.
In fact, yeah. I know we've talked about a lot of different signs. In fact, when you're talking about the first one, about the warning about the step, that really dovetails into... when we were just got back from Puerto Rico, I don't know if you saw it online, but we took Olivia, who's now the same age as Kelly, or you know, she's 10 now. Kelly died at 9, and when we lived in Mexico, when Kelly was going through cancer therapy, and we lived on this beach in Mexico for months, and he befriended this a pelican that had a wounded arm or wing, and he was on the beach every day with this pelican, you know. And so I have a picture, and it's on my website, of him standing next to this pelican. It's almost as big as he is.
I didn't know what it was.
And so then now we're in Puerto Rico on the beach, and the waves are huge, and Livy, my, is just in there all the time. She's just like a mermaid. She's in the water and the ocean continually, you know. And we're, and it's really kind of rough, but she's having fun and blah blah. And then pretty soon these three pelicans start flying around above her, circling above her, and then they start dive bombing right behind her and around her. And of course, you know, any little kid would probably get scared that they're going to get attacked by a pelican and run. No, she swims after them, you know. And
I saw the video. It's great.
It's like, you saw the video, so it's crazy, you know. Then it's almost like they were warning her to get out of the water. And then it wasn't 10 minutes later, the security guard, street sweeper, was walking by, and he takes care of the sidewalks on the beach, and he says, tell your little girl they have not put the flags out yet, but there is a riptide warning. Get her out of the water. And she came running out. We were telling her to get out. She came out. Why? I go, well, and she said, and we told her what happened. And she goes, I think Uncle Kelly sent the penguins the pelicans to warn me to get out of the water. Then everybody was getting out of the beach, and then the pelicans disappeared. And it seemed so.
Yeah, and I've never seen pelicans. I've been on many beaches. I've never seen pelicans surround anybody like they did her.
No. And you live on the beach, you know, and I have not seen it.
I do.
You know, and so it's that unexpected.
We don't have pelicans, though.
You don't have pelicans?
No, we don't have pelicans. Those are warm weather birds.
Oh, okay. Oh, I didn't know. I didn't know where they
Barb, tell us about your son, Brent, please.
So my son, Brent, yeah, he was an interesting kid, very driven. At age, he had just turned 15. He'd gone to 1 year of local high school. I lived north of Boston. And he came to us. He was starting to get into little bits of trouble, and we were on his case. And he came to us and said, I've decided I want to be a pilot. I want to go to military high school. And we're like, what? You know? And so, all right, but we're going to spend your college money on your high school. We're not going to jeopardize your brother Brad's college. Are you willing to help us get you through college? And he said, yes. So I said, okay. We basically, you know, looked all over the place. He ended up picking the oldest, darkest one he could find, New York Military Academy in Cornwall and Hudson, New York. And he went off at age 15 and went from flunking science to the in the local high school to literally, you know, straight A's, captain or co-captain of all of his sports teams, got third captain, which is the third top-ranking cadet in the school, and got a full scholarship out to Arizona State University. And then, so he went off to Arizona, you know, after he graduated high school with honors. And, you know, just did amazing there in an ROTC program. And he actually was in the end of his junior year about to go to boot camp and get commissioned as an officer and commit 8 years active to the Army. He was getting engaged. He had found a wonderful woman, Laura. They did their PT training one Friday morning. He had already passed his written aviation test for the Army. Talked a friend to switch vehicles. He was starting to play with motorcycles, and we were trying to discourage it. There's no helmet law out there. And even though he had promised us he wouldn't get out without a helmet, this kid showed up with his brand new Rice Rocket motorcycle without a helmet because he lived nearby. So they switched vehicles, and he lost control of it and ran it into a loading dock wall, and it catapulted him. He lands 56 feet away on his head on cement loading dock floor. Oh. And they, you know, they have their own police force because it's a 50,000 student campus, and they got him. They intubated him within 3 minutes and got him to a trauma center. But his brain swelled and choked out the oxygen to his brainstem. So, you know, they got a hold of us. I was on a business trip for IBM. I used to work for IBM in New York, and they pronounced him brain dead while we were in the air. So we spent one heck of a weekend. I had lost two babies before that. I had a miscarriage, and then I lost when Brent and Brad were 6 and 4. Robbie was full term stillborn. So, unfortunately, I'm well acquainted with it. But
yes,
Brent's the most
are.
Active spirit in my life. Yeah, and then I lost my husband, Jim, two years ago.
And Jim, and I met Jim. And so, could you touch on that in the difference, nuances of grief, but losing your husband and losing young children and then losing your older son? Can you just touch on that, how that affected you, or did having those other losses prepare you for Jim somewhat?
Yeah, I was kind of a student of grief, and I don't like to compare, but they were all quite different,
mm-hmm.
right? They were
right.
I had the miscarriage first. We were married, I think, 7 years to my first husband, and then I had, Robbie was, like I said, my boys were 6 and 4, and then Brent, that was in, so 80 and 87, Brent was in 2002, and it had a huge impact on my marriage. My 30-year marriage fell apart a year after.
Mm-hmm.
So I was grieving that also. And the combination of losing the children, actually the loss of grandchildren for me because Brent was kid crazy, and my marriage and having to live alone for the first time. And his brother, Brad, went off to... Brent died the week Brad graduated high school. So we literally did, you know, a graduation, a wake, a funeral, trip, the whole bit, all in the same week. And so Brad also flunked out of college all around the same time, a year after Brent died, and I attempted suicide.
Oh, my.
So it had a very dramatic effect on me, but thank God I did it in a way that I pulled into the garage and closed the garage door and figured the carbon monoxide would be easy, but it gave me time to think, so it actually became a turning point for me. I not only realized I couldn't do that to my remaining son,
mm-hmm.
but it made me realize that, you know, you've got to kick yourself in the butt and make a choice to heal and climb out of this hole. But also, it was obvious to me then that reaching out to help others would help me heal. And that's when I started the chapter of the Compassionate Friends of Greater Newburyport, Mass. In 2003, and that really helped save me. And then later on in 2013, I started A Butterfly's Journey and made that a nonprofit in 2015. So, you know, I retired from IBM the end of 2008, and then I went back into the corporate world for a little while, but basically retired again in 2012, and I've been full-time since then, just working like you do,
mm-hmm.
Mitch, helping people with grief.
That helped you through it. I mean, and the seduction of suicide is very real when you're in that deep, deep, dark spot. And I think your butterfly's journey is so appropriately named for your journey that, you know, you were at the deepest of your despair and tried to end your life. And now you've started a whole new life, helping people, spreading all the joys of maintaining a relationship with Brent. And you get still signs from Jim, too, from your husband.
Well, you know, I'm having a hard time telling the difference between the two is my problem. Okay, so let me back up a little bit. I mean, so fast forward, I got married again. I met my second husband in 05. We got married in 06. And, yeah, you got to meet him. He was a sweetheart. He was 6'9" and as nice as he was tall. And then we were married almost 12 years. And one morning, it was funny because he didn't cook. And it took me 10 years to get him to make me coffee, right? He made me coffee that morning, and he went off to work, and you've been on this little island that I live on. He only got up a quarter of a mile away. He must have felt something because he turned around in a little parking lot, a little dirt parking lot, and he passed out, and he actually the car kept going and went into a parked car, but thank God it stopped him from going back out into the road. And they pulled him out, but they could not resuscitate him. He had a widowmaker heart attack, basically, and he had just turned 64. We had tickets to a show that night. It was totally unexpected. And I lost my parents when I was 32 and 47. Mm-hmm. And I actually had a brother that died, but he died before I was born, so I didn't get to know him. But my parents used to talk about him all the time, Danny. So when Jim died, it was very difficult and very different than losing a child because Jim was in my life every day. You know, we were together, so there was a lot of loneliness and a lot of, you know, at one point I've talked about it with people and said, sometimes I just like to make fun of myself because you do things like, oh, damn, I forgot to bring the garbage out again. Or it's snowing. You mean I have to go out and shovel? You know, he used to do that stuff for me. So it was very difficult. But I think I kind of said, you know what? I learned a long time ago that this is my purpose in life. And it just felt like it was making me a student of grief, mm-hmm. that yeah. I could only help other people with it if I had experience with it. And now I've almost gone full circle, not quite to the same extent as of siblings, but
you've touched so many people's hearts with your photography and your books and your continual willingness to talk to people about it and that bravery to reach out and to say, how are you doing? And so I so appreciate you calling in, Barbara, and sharing those signs. And God, there's so many more signs. And let's talk after this later today. I want to talk to you some more.
Yeah, no, I'd love to. Yeah, let's talk later today. And I don't mean to hog your whole time.
Oh, Barb, we're so grateful that you called in. What a beautiful story. And how honest and brave you are to share all the points of your story. Thank you so much.
These continual connections that we have, too. I lost my son when I was 32, and I lost my mother when I was 47. So, I mean, you just said that, you know, and Kelly died in 87, and I think you lost your child. There's a lot of connections that we have connections,
really,
you know.
Is.
So
and
thanks
funny,
again,
Bart. My son is bugging me now to tell you one more thing that we went away 6 months after he died, and a friend of mine who had these capabilities, he came to her and showed her something that I had put into his grave before I closed the cover and never told anyone about, not even family. He showed it to her, and she didn't know what she was describing. It was a lanyard keychain from his college, and she's describing it, not knowing what she's describing, and I almost fell off my chair.
Oh,
I knew immediately what she was describing.
Well, Barbara, clock is ticking here. We're out of time, but thank you again for calling.
Yeah.
No, we could talk forever on signs. So thanks again for calling in, and we'll talk to you later, honey.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Barbara. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. And you are listening to another edition of Grief Chat on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.